Now, last Sunday was Vision Sunday, and it was a great morning. We had an incredible day hearing the vision and the direction for where we're headed as a church for the year. Can I encourage you that if you weren't here, to give that message a watch? You can find it on our website. You can find it on YouTube, Spotify, and I think you meant to say like all good podcast places or something like that. You know, just so that we can go on this journey together. So can I encourage you to lean into that? But our vision for 2026 for the year is power and authority. You know, that as a church, as individuals, that we'd be able to take hold of God's power and authority in our lives. You know, we heard from Pastor Lee last week that Jesus is the source of authority. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" You know, Jesus didn't claim to have authority. Jesus didn't forcefully take authority, but it was given to him by God the Father. You know, I think this is an important foundation for us to understand this year, that as we lean into the idea of power and authority, that all legitimate spiritual power and authority comes from God. And it can only come from God, not from anywhere else. You know, it cannot be assumed. It cannot be created. It cannot be earned. It can only be given by God, who is the creator and the source of all. So we continued reading in Luke chapter 9, verse 1. And 2. And it said, "One day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." So we see that Jesus was given ultimate power and authority by God, but he didn't just keep it to himself. Jesus delegated that power and authority to those who follow him. He delegated that power and authority to his disciples and to us as followers of him. But I think when I read that scripture, the other thing that I notice is that Jesus delegated authority for purpose. You know, there was a purpose for the authority and the power that Jesus gave his disciples. You know, it was not given to be a means for control. You know, it was not given to be used as a force. You know, the power that Jesus gave the disciples was specifically so that people could find freedom, that people could find healing, that people could find wholeness. And Jesus gave them power and authority to share the good news, to share the hope of Jesus with the whole world. You know, all these purposes, they're of an eternal benefit. And you know, the other thing I notice about them is that all of these things bring glory to God. You know, all of these things glorify God. So Jesus was given all authority, and he gave that same power and authority to those who follow him. So this morning, if you're a follower of Jesus, then the same power and authority is available to you. You know, the question for us today as followers of Jesus isn't whether or not we have authority. You know, the question isn't whether or not you have authority. It's whether we choose to step into it. It's whether we choose to walk in the power and authority that God has given to us. You know, we can trust God. We can trust God that his power and authority has been given to us and that he will outwork that in our lives as we trust him. So my first point today, as we come into our second week of power and authority, is that it's not by might. It's not by might. You know, in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "So he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty.'" You know, when we think about power and authority, what are some of the things that we commonly associate with it? You know, we might think of things like strength, of force, of volume, of velocity. But there's a difference between being strong. There's a difference between being loud. There's a difference between being forceful and walking in the power and authority of God. You know, throughout the Bible, we see the power of God demonstrated powerfully through the Holy Spirit. You know, we see the Holy Spirit arrive like a rushing wind, with an earthquake, like a fire from heaven, like a blinding light. You know, these sound pretty powerful to me. But the thing I also notice about the power in these scenarios is that the power comes from the Holy Spirit. The power doesn't come from people. So in application, this looks like in Ephesians 3, we see that Paul says that God may strengthen you with power from his Spirit in your inner being. Now, that doesn't sound quite as forceful, but it's still powerful. You know, in John chapter 20, after Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to the disciples and he gave them the Holy Spirit. He didn't do it by yelling. He didn't do it by shouting, by stomping his feet. The Bible says that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You know, the power's in the Holy Spirit. The power's in the Spirit, not in our own actions. Because true authority, it doesn't need to be loud. It doesn't need to be mighty. It doesn't require human strength. True authority is only found in God. You know, I think maybe for some of us, the word authority can carry baggage. You know, because we've seen how it can be misused by people, you know, in and outside of the church. But please know that that's not the heart of God. That's not the heart of God. You know, the power and authority that we see Jesus model in the Bible looks nothing like that. You know, Jesus always operated with grace. He operated with justice and with truth. Because godly spiritual authority, godly power, you know, it's not just a declaration of power, but it carries the goodness, it carries the kindness, and it carries the very character of God. You know, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Now, I think it can be easy for us to equate spiritual intensity with anointing. You know, to equate loudness with the power of God. But we don't step into God's authority for our lives by praying louder. We don't step into God's authority for our lives by singing louder, by trying harder. You know, there's a time for boldness. You know, there's a time for stepping out. There's a time to make bold declarations of faith. But what is most important is that we find ourselves being led by the Holy Spirit. You know, we do this by yielding ourselves to God and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us and within us. You know, I was speaking to someone who comes to our church this week, and they were sharing a story with me from their workplace. You know, they've had the opportunity to share the love of Jesus with someone in their workplace to the point that the person has asked them if they can pray with them. You know, I want to encourage you that that's the power and authority at work in someone's life. You know, it doesn't sound like it's an over-the-top thing, but this individual, by choosing to pray before they head into work and allowing God to speak through them, you know, they're being an ambassador for Christ in that moment. That's the power and authority of God at work in someone's life. You know, that's an example of what it looks like to walk with God's power and authority. Because it's the Spirit that provides the power that makes the human effort effective. You know, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The Spirit provides the power that makes the human effort effective. You know, it's not our human effort that makes the Spirit effective. You know, it's not my actions that make the power of God effective in my life. Because who knows that without the Spirit, without the power of God, that when we go about our lives, we're just going through religious motions. You know, we're just singing songs. We're just making persuasive and convincing statements. We're running programs, attending events. You know, we're just running businesses. We're just going to work. You know, we're just providing for our families. But, you know, none of these things are wrong. These are all incredible things. But there's a difference between when we do things for God and when we do things with God. You know, many of us, you know, we've faithfully done these things for many years. And I want to commend you for that. You know, it matters to God. It matters to God that we show up. It matters to God that we are consistent, that we follow His plans for our lives. But we're invited into something even greater. Because even the most practiced amongst us today, I'm sure you could recognize that there's moments where we start to run on autopilot. We can become self-sufficient even within our own faith rather than abiding in God. You know, I know for myself that when I get comfortable at something, you know, when I get good at something, it can be easy to leave God out of the equation. But in those moments, I want the power of God to work through me as well. Because there's great power found in understanding that the Spirit provides the power that makes the human effort effective. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 5. This is Paul talking. He says, "When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God." Now, why do you think Paul didn't use lofty words? Why do you think Paul didn't use impressive wisdom? Well, I can tell you that Paul was an educated man. Paul was an intelligent man. He was articulate. I mean, if you've read some of the things that are in the Bible that he wrote, he was articulate, he was persuasive. But he was intentional in this moment about setting those things aside. Why? So that the people would encounter God's power, not Paul's personality, not Paul's persuasion. In fact, we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, that Paul says, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me." You know, Paul was intentional about letting God's power lead in every moment, in every situation. Now, if you think about your own work, your own life, your own area of influence for a moment, you know, I think a question for us today is, you know, when people interact with me, do they see my skills? Do they see my abilities, my strengths? Do they see my personality? Or do they encounter the power of God working through me? You know, for me, I want to live a life that reflects Jesus, not just the gifts and talents that God has given to me. You know, that what my life reflects goes beyond just skills and ability, but it exercises the very power of God. And you know, I'm not saying today that we should disregard the things that God has placed on our lives, because they truly are gifts from Him. You know, what God has given to you, what He's placed in your life is for purpose. But within our strengths, within our gifts and our talents, it can be easy to start leaning on ourselves and to not provide space for God. And within our weaknesses, it can be easy for us to choose doubt over faith. You know, God, how could you possibly work in this area because I'm not good at it? Well, Paul said that I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. You know, I think this happened to me this week, actually. We all know the moment, you probably know the moment, where you wake up in the morning and you didn't charge your phone. Can you relate? Anyone relate to that? Luckily for me, I did wake up on time. It's dangerous, actually, setting an alarm on your phone and then forgetting to charge it. It's not very wise. But, you know, with a phone, it doesn't matter if it's the latest model. You know, you could have, what's the latest model? An iPhone 17, probably? 17 Pro, maximum. You can have the latest model. You could have the coolest color. You could even have one of those cases that keeps it charged. But if it's not charged, it's simply dead weight. It's simply dead weight. You know, I think for us, we can have all of the experience. We can have all of the training. We can have all of the gifts. We can have all of the talent. But without the power of the Holy Spirit, we're just operating in our human capacity. Now, the thing with gifts and talents is that they can get us some of the way. You know, with gifts, with talents, with personality, we can go so far, but to walk into the fullness of God's purposes and plans for us, we need the power of the Holy Spirit and the authority of God in our lives. Because true power and authority is unlocked through God and God alone. By allowing God to work through us and by walking and acting in His will for us. So I want to quickly take a look at a conversation from John chapter 14 between Jesus and some of His disciples. You know, Jesus tells them that soon He's going to be leaving them. And I imagine that was probably quite confronting. You know, they've spent a few years following Jesus, and it's soon to be their turn to lead and to step into the authority that He is giving to them so that they can continue on with the mission. But, I mean, I'd be a bit confronted by Jesus saying that He's leaving. So we pick up the passage in verse 5 of John 14. It says, "No, we don't know, Lord," Thomas said. "We have no idea where You are going. So how can we know the way?" Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through Me. If you had really known Me, you would know who My Father is. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him." And then Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." And Jesus replied, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen Me has seen the Father. So why are you asking Me to show Him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in Me?" Now catch this part. "The words I speak are not My own, but My Father who lives in Me does His work through Me." You know, Thomas says, "Jesus, we don't know where You're going." Philip says, "Show us the Father." And Jesus says, "Anyone who has seen Me has seen the Father." You know, I think this passage, it speaks to an incredible and amazing truth for us. A lesson that we can learn from Jesus is that in everything that Jesus did, He was connected to the source. You know, in everything that Jesus did, He was connected to God the Father. You know, when Jesus spoke, it was the Father's voice speaking through Him. When Jesus acted, it was the Father working through Him. When Jesus loved, it was the Father's heart being revealed. You know, this is the model that Jesus gave us to replicate in our own lives. This is power and authority. That we would become so connected to God that His power would flow through us. That His words would become our words and that His works would become our works. That in every moment, by word, by action, that we would be pouring out of God in us from His power and authority, not from our own. You know, when I speak, how does God speak through me? You know, what takes the encouraging words I give to people and brings the power of God through them? You know, when I act, how do I display God's love? Because power and authority, you know, it's not just for the big moments. Power and authority is not just for the big things that we're believing for. It's not just for the things that we feel that we totally and utterly need God to get through. But power and authority is for our every day. It's for our every day. It's for our every action. For our every word. You know, the next couple of verses from John 14 say, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. You know, this points to the outcome. What is the outcome of power and authority? Well, it's greater works. You know, Jesus said, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works. Now, does it mean that what we do will be more miraculous, will be more powerful, will be greater in quality? No, probably not. You know, no one can surpass Jesus, but our lives become an extension of the mission that Jesus was on. You know, Jesus could only be in one place at a time when he was on earth. But it's our mandate to take the commission into the far reaches of the earth. You know, to see God's power and authority everywhere. You know, in the 2,000 years since Jesus' ministry, the church has seen more people set free, more lives transformed, not because we're better, but because Jesus multiplied his power and authority through the body of Christ, the church. You know, when you take the presence of God with you into your workplace, into your school, into your household, into the community, that's living out the greater works that Jesus was talking about. You know, that person from our church I shared about earlier who's ministering to people in their workplace, that's the greater works. You know, it's not flashier than Jesus. You know, there's no sparkles and smoke. But it is the multiplication of his presence through ordinary people. You know, you choosing to extend kindness to your neighbors, to show grace to people, is the greater works. You know, you setting an example for your children is the greater works. It may not feel miraculous, but God has chosen to give you power and authority to walk in his plans for you. So what is the key to all this? You know, I think a key to all this was found in that last passage. It's asking in Jesus' name. Asking in Jesus' name. You know, I'll read it again. It says, you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Now, you might think that sounds pretty cool, but I need to tell you what it doesn't mean first. It's not a magic word. It's not a special formula. It's not a way to get whatever we want by saying the right thing. Because it's not by might and it's not by power. But it is an acknowledgement of the source of power. It is an acknowledgement of the source of authority. You know, when we ask for something in Jesus' name, what does it mean? Well, it means that we ask according to the character of Jesus. It means that we ask according to the will of God. It means that we ask for things that bring glory to the Father. And it means that God can do it. You know, when we ask in Jesus' name, it's that I'm asking what Jesus would ask for. I'm asking aligned with his purposes. And when we act in Jesus' name, we're carrying the presence, power, and character of Jesus in our lives. You know, in Jesus' name, it starts with abiding in him. It starts with abiding in him. You know, John chapter 15, verse 5 says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Far apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, power and authority in our lives starts by being connected to the source, not by straining to try to produce fruit. You know, you might have seen a fruit tree once or twice, maybe, in your life. But the branches don't have to strain to produce fruit. They simply stay connected to the source. And the growth and the fruit that is produced happens naturally. You know, when we talk about power and authority, we're not trying to manufacture spiritual results through our own effort, but by learning to remain connected in such a deep connection with God that fruit flows out from us. You know, what does this look like? It looks like dependence. It looks like dependence on God, not independence. You know, all through our lives, we're taught to become independent, to not rely on anybody, to be self-sufficient. You know, we're taught problem-solving skills. We're taught to be critical thinkers. We're taught how to make decisions. But abiding in God is consciously choosing to depend on Him, to become dependent on God as the true source of power. You know, when a problem arises, do we jump straight into strategy mode, or do we ask God for wisdom and insight first? You know, when we know we're walking into a difficult conversation, do we pray and ask God first and then leave room for Him to speak in it? You know, when we wake up in the morning, do we check our notifications first, or do we acknowledge God's presence, His strength and His power with us? Because abiding in Him is being constantly connected to Him. Constantly being connected to Him. Now, I think having morning quiet time is a great foundation. And if you're doing that, don't stop doing that. But what's important is letting the power and authority of God flow out into the rest of the day as well. You know, not just containing God's power in our lives to the scheduled moments, but living a life that constantly draws from the overflow of our relationship with God. That constantly draws from the overflow of our connection with God. Now, can we stand this morning? Because I think ultimately, for us, this looks like surrender. It looks like surrender. John chapter 5, verse 19. So Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He does only what He sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does." You know, I read that and I think, if Jesus, who was God made flesh, needed total dependence on God the Father, how much more do I? How much more do I? You know, before I have a difficult conversation, I need to ask God for His help. You know, I need to think, what would Jesus want to say here? When I'm walking into relational conflict, I need to ask God, how do You see this person? Before making a decision, I need to ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom. You know, these things that I'm talking about, it might not sound like what we expect power and authority to sound like. But power and authority takes the mundane. It takes the everyday things in our lives and it makes it divine. It makes it powerful. Our work becomes worship. Our conversations become ministry. Our families become a demonstration of God's kingdom on earth. And our neighborhood becomes our mission field. Our neighborhood becomes our mission field. So just as we come to a close today, can I just invite you to position yourself before God? Just open your heart to Him. And let's ask God to speak to us. And let's pick one moment this week where I can invite God's power and authority into. You know, take a moment to pause and ask the Holy Spirit to move. Now, what's one moment this week that you can ask for God's power and authority in? God, we thank you for your power and authority. And right now, we choose to yield to you. We say, Holy Spirit, would you be our guide? Would you be our lead? Would you lead us into greater connection with the Father? That we would become so connected to the vine that we can do nothing else but produce fruit. God, I pray this week, God, that in the moments that we've been praying about, that you would interrupt us, that you would cause us to turn our eyes to you, that we wouldn't try to do it in our own strength, but we would lean on you for power and authority. God, that you would take our moments and you would make them divine encounters. God, we pray that our work, God, we pray that our schooling would become worship to you. God, I pray that the conversations that we have with people will become ministry. God, that in every moment we would pour your love out on those around us. God, and I pray that our families would become a demonstration of your kingdom on earth. God, that we will walk toward everything that you have for us, not in our own strength, but according to your power and authority at work in us. God, I pray that our neighborhoods would become our mission field. God, that you would speak to us about people. And God, that when we speak, that you would speak through us. That when we act, that you would act through us. Holy Spirit, this week we make room for you. We make room for you. You know, if you're here today and you haven't made a connection with God before that, you don't know God personally. You know today that God's heart is for you. God's desire is to know each of us personally, that we would be able to have confidence in who He has created us to be. You know, God's desire for us is that we would inherit eternity with Him. You know, that we would have a purpose that lasts beyond what we can see now. You know, despite the wrong things that we have done, the times that we turned our back on God, that God made a way for us to be forgiven. God made a way for us to have a relationship with Him. You know, Jesus came to earth. He died an innocent death. He took the punishment that we deserved for our sins. And 3 days later, He rose from the dead, victorious over sin, over shame and death. And when He did that, He made a way for us to receive God's forgiveness, for us to receive God's love. And when we do that, we receive life eternal with God. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So just as with every eye closed for a moment, you know, if you're here today and you need to pray the prayer today to start a relationship with God, to ask for His forgiveness, I want to give you the opportunity to do that. So just while nobody's looking around, if that's you today and you need relationship with God, I'm just going to invite you to pop up your hand real quick, just so I can see it and we can pray with you. Once you've raised your hand, you can put it down. Thank you. You know, we're going to pray this prayer all together. One of accepting God's forgiveness, acknowledging our need for Him, and our declaration of our belief in Him. So I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer after me. Dear God, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to make a way for me to be in relationship with you. I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. I'm sorry for the wrong things I've done, and I accept your forgiveness. I choose today to follow you. Amen. Amen. We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.